The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 13. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are summed up in this statement, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, so love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this since you understand the present time. It is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost over, and the day is drawing near. So let us put away the deeds of darkness and put on the weapons of light. Let us walk decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual sin and wild living, not in strife and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not give any thought to satisfying the desires of your sinful flesh. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our epistle reading this morning is the second half of Romans 13. Although our reading begins with verse 8, I'd like to also speak about what comes before it. The context for our reading is important. Chapter 13 starts out this way. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for no authority exists except by God, and the authorities that do exist have been established by God. Therefore, the one who rebels against the authority is opposing God's institution, and those who oppose will bring judgment on themselves. During quiet and peaceable times, this passage is rather vanilla. It's included in our catechism's table of duties for what is required of us toward our rulers. It's an application of the fourth commandment to honor our father and mother and other authorities. Normally, these are not difficult doctrines. However, never during my lifetime has there been talk like there has been lately. Before this year, I had never heard anyone talk seriously about civil war being possible. This year, I've heard people seriously discuss this on various forums. Now, to be clear, I do not think that this will actually happen, but I think it is telling that such talk is not immediately dismissed by absolutely everyone as being crackheaded. Even though it is still a very remote possibility, the reason why the idea has been entertained by people is that we are only becoming more and more divided. The legitimacy of our rulers is being called into question by various groups. The legitimacy of the latest Supreme Court justice has been questioned. The legitimacy of the president-elect has been questioned. Both of these examples have been from opposing sides. Some Democrats have questioned the one, some Republicans have questioned the other. Questions of legitimacy are, indeed, one of the ways that civil wars can start, even though I think our country is not in great danger of that right now. Regardless, it might be high time for us to blow the dust off Romans 13 and learn from it how we should think about government and our relationship to it. So, as we've already noted, Paul says that everyone must submit to the governing authorities, because no authority exists except by God, and the authorities that exist have been established by God. In a way, what Paul says is remarkable for what he doesn't say, almost more than what he does say. For example, he doesn't say that we should only submit to those governing authorities who are good. He also doesn't say that we should only submit to those governing authorities who are godly. Nor, and this is perhaps most surprising of all, he doesn't say we should only submit to those governing authorities who are legitimate. and who came into power in the correct, orderly way. He simply says, submit to the governing authorities, for those who govern do so by God's institution. Normally, an argument from silence isn't very powerful, but here I think it is significant. The rulers at Paul's time, the Roman emperors, were not good or godly or what we would think of as legitimate. Several of them are famous for their debauchery and perversion. They all were very impious in that they believed that they were divine and thought that they should be worshipped. At least a couple of them came to power by murdering their predecessor. Several Christians had already been put to death by governing authorities by the time Paul wrote this letter. Eventually, Paul himself would be executed by the government too. So Paul couldn't have had a Pollyanna-ish view of the governing authorities where he naively said that we should submit to them because he was unaware of the political intrigue that could be involved. No, with eyes wide open, he says that we should submit to the governing authorities. Now understand that what Paul says is dissatisfactory to everyone, with the possible exception of Christians. You are never going to find a civics textbook or a political science book that says what Paul says. Paul, at the same time, is demanding too much, and he has his sights set too low. He demands too much because he simply says, obey. Obeying governing authorities is obeying God, who put them there. Ask any child, and you will find how difficult it is for us to simply obey. On the other hand, Paul is aiming too low. It seems that in order for us to make any progress toward a more perfect government, we have to have insubordination. Otherwise, we seem to be stuck forever with what we have. That actually isn't true. God, the author of history, is the one who gives us good government, but it always seems like that is up to us in order to bring that about. Therefore, Paul's command for obedience seems like a bad idea. But the Bible was not written for the purpose of ushering in a more perfect government, a kingdom of this world, a city set on a hill. It has a different purpose, to bring about God's kingdom on earth. The kingdom of God, though, is not of this world. It does not come about by governing authorities exerting their influence to coerce people into doing good. It isn't brought about by the use of guns or even laws. It comes about by the preaching of the gospel, of the forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake. When and where it pleases the Holy Spirit, he creates faith in those who hear this gospel. When they believe in Christ, they are justified without any merit or works of their own. They become children of God, heirs of eternal life. This means that they are set free from the futile task of making their own little paradises on earth. They do not need to organize grand projects and coerce everybody else to do their will. They are set free to love, to serve, to do good, wherever and whenever the opportunity should arise. So what Paul says here is not by accident or because of some kind of ignorance. Christians are meant to leave the government be, submit to it, unless the government should ask you to do something against God's will. Then you must obey God rather than men. Perhaps that might mean that you'll face harsh punishment from them, like the apostles and martyrs did. But Peter says that it is a blessed thing to suffer for doing what is good. That, after all, is following Jesus, our Master, who also suffered for doing good. But generally speaking, the government is not going to bother you so long as you are dutiful, honest, and generous. The governing authorities are God's instruments for our good. It doesn't matter if they are personally good or evil. God uses them as instruments to maintain law and order so that we Christians can lead quiet and peaceful lives, where we keep busy by loving God and loving our neighbor. Because the governing authorities are doing God's work for our good, it is also required that we pay them for that work. This is what Paul says just before our reading this morning. Paul says, "Pay what you owe to all of them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed." That's the verse immediately prior to our reading today. Pay what you owe, Paul says. But then our reading today starts this way. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. Did you catch that play on words? There are a couple of levels to it. In verse 7, Paul says, pay what you owe. Pay taxes. Pay honor. In verse 8, he says, do not owe anyone anything. This seems like a contradiction, but he's making an important point that I'll explain in a second. And on another level, he's being a little playful and ironic because he follows up, do not owe anyone anything with except to love one another. And as you know, love is a very busy thing. It's always paying, always doing good. So what is Paul getting at when he says, do not owe anyone anything, immediately after saying that we should pay what is owed to the governing authorities? What Paul means by that is that we Christians, no matter how lowly we might be, are free. We are children of God. We belong to Him. That means we do not belong to the governing authorities. But here's something mysterious about governing authorities. They never seem to be satisfied with doing the job that God has given to them of maintaining order and justice. No, they also want to colonize people's souls, which is where they do not belong. They want to shape and form people in their own image. They want fanatical followers because this enhances their power. They want people to be devoted to their country with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, with all their mind. This is why the Roman emperors wanted people to see them as gods and to worship them as gods. A similar thing goes on today where people give themselves over to one political party or another. Their very identity is wrapped up in how they might vote. This is unbecoming of a Christian. As Paul says elsewhere, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. You were bought with the blood of the Son of God. You belong to Him. You must not sell yourself to any party or platform. You must not be fanatical devotees. Only one is your master, namely Christ. Leave the government where it belongs, which is actually beneath you. Contrary to what most people think, you have more important work to do. This is what Paul goes on to talk about in our reading. The work that you have been given to do is to love one another. Love your neighbor. Love the one who is right next to you. Love the person at work who drives you crazy. Love your fellow member of the congregation. Be honest. Do your duty. Be generous with your resources. The really important things in life are contained in these callings that God has specifically given to you. Far from being at the pinnacle of human life, the government is God's instrument for the sake of these so-called little things in life, so that they may continue on, may continue to be done in peace and quietness. You do not exist for the sake of the government. The government exists for the sake of your home life. That is what is truly good. The government isn't as important, as divine, as people make it out to be. recognize that one of the commonest idols since the fall into sin has been the state. If you think about it, it's not surprising. When people get together, they can pool their resources. Together, they're able to do things that they can't do individually. They can build up great systems. This gives them power. They have the power to bless and the power to curse. They can pick winners and losers. They have something of the power even over life and death, for they can establish armies. They can execute. Wherever there appears to be some kind of power, you can count on us sinful human beings to sinfully worship it. But this is all an illusion, a lie. The history books are full of people who thought that they were humanity's saviors, but now hardly anybody remembers their names. There is one God, the Lord. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. He gave himself as a ransom for all when he was executed by the governing authorities. They did this because they despised him. They thought that he was a kook or a nobody. And so it goes to this very day. The high and mighty are busy building a tower that reaches into the heavens. They are busy bringing in a new day that promises justice and a paradise. There is only one way to bring about paradise, and that is through the reconciliation Jesus has worked between the real God, instead of any fake gods, and us. What is truly great is the love that God has for us in Jesus, a love that goes unrecognized because it is so lowly. To Christians, he is great. To others who believe in other gods, he is small and ineffectual. They imagine that their gods are better, more powerful. But we'll see about that. You understand the present time. It is already the hour for you to wake from sleep, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost over. The day is drawing near. Jesus is coming. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls, and in you we put our trust. Do not let us be ashamed of our hope, but come quickly. Sustain us by your Holy Spirit.